today, because it's Aseret Simei Tshuva, today is the fourth day of Aseret Simei Tshuva, and really I always try to tell guys in advance, but I didn't give the reminder this year, that it's really kedai throughout the course of Aseret Simei Tshuva to follow the Rambam's curriculum. The Rambam wrote Hilchos Tshuva, he wrote 10 prakim of Hilchos Tshuva, and Rav Soloveitchik suggested that the 10 prakim correspond to the 10 days of Aseret Simei Tshuva, and he was writing a curriculum of what you should be learning throughout Aseret Simei Tshuva. So today would be the fourth parak of Hilchos Tshuva, which happens to be a fascinating parak. Even if you just learn it as a standalone parak, it's very kedai to look at. Maybe I thought about doing that today. We'll do something else. But the fourth parak talks about the things you can't do tshuva for. We're always trained to think that you could do tshuva for everything, that there's nothing you can't do tshuva for. Fourth parak of the tshuva's Rambam says the chafdal advarim hama'akvin es tshuva. The 24 things that, not necessarily at the very end, he says it's not that you can't do tshuva for, but that you can't either do a complete tshuva for, or that you likely won't do tshuva for. Very, very fascinating, very interesting parak to learn, to see what significant things can be pitfalls for us during this time of year to be careful of. But today we're going to focus on a different tshuva topic. I always like to spend one day, at least during the Aseret Simei Tshuva, talking about some tshuva-related topics. So I figured today on a fast day, we'll do, sometimes you like to say something a little lighter. Tshuva is not really lighter. It's sort of heavier, but it's different. It's a change of pace. It's a change of pace from our regular topics. And it's going to take us a while until we get to how this really directly relates to tshuva. But we'll start with tshuva and we'll end with tshuva, and in between we'll do a lot of other things. We'll start with tshuva as follows. The Rambam in the second paragraph of Hilchos Tshuva, Halacha Beis, the Rambam defines how one does tshuva. The Rambam writes, Umahi HaTshuva. You would imagine that this would be Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph of Hilchos Tshuva. First define the term. You're writing in these halachos of tshuva. No, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. Anyone know? Anyone know what Rambam talks about? Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph? Rambam says, when you decide to do tshuva, you have to make sure that you say vidui, which makes it sound like there's not even a mitzvah of tshuva. The mitzvah is vidui, and there's been a lot of ink spilled on that Rambam, the Rambam in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Tshuva, because in the koteret, in the heading of the Rambam of Hilchos Tshuva, he writes that tshuva is a mitzvah, and then in Halacha Aleph, he describes nothing about tshuva being a mitzvah vidui, when you happen to be in a situation where you want to do tshuva. So that's a very fascinating topic in its own right. But it takes till Perek Beis, where the Rambam finally gets to, what is the process? How does one do tshuva? Tshuva is one of those things that's very easy to describe, very hard to do. And the Rambam describes it very easily. The Rambam says, Umahi hatshuva, hu sheya'azov hachotei cheto. Number one, abandon the avera that you did. Number two, viyasiru memachshavaso, and remove it from your mind. Number two, viyigmor belibo shelo ya'aseyu od. Decide in a definitive way that you will not do this again. Shenemar yazov rasha darko. The rasha leaves his derech. It's important that the pasuk uses the term derech, not just yazov rasha cheto, that the rasha leaves his sin, because it's yadua that if a person wants to modify behavior in any way, even in the non-Jewish world, when they talk about forming new habits, behavior modification, one of the basic elements that one needs to be aware of is that you can't just change a behavior, you have to change a context. That very often behavior happens within a specific context. The classic example that's serves as probably the greatest muscle for tshuva, because people can relate to it very well, although not so much people your age, I guess, but when you get to my age, people can relate to this very well, dieting. When a person has to figure out how to stop eating junk food, how to stop eating the things that will make him unhealthy and overweight and all of these problems. So the answer is not continue to buy all the same foods, continue to have them all around your house, continue to have your same daily schedule, and just have the willpower to overcome this time. That is not the answer. That does not work. You have to change the derech. You have to change the whole path, the whole context within which you tend to falter. Yazov Rasha Darko, not Cheto, but Darko. We have to leave that derech. But anyway, that is ingredient two in tshuva, is commit that you will not do it again in the future. And then ingredient number three, v'chein yisnachem al sha'avar, shnemar kiach reshuvi nichamti. You should also regret having done the Avera in the past. That is ingredient number three. To the point that, says the Rambam, v'yeyid alav yodea ta'alumos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who knows all hidden things, will be made about him, shelo yashuv lezeh hachet li'olam, that this person will never return to this Avera. Shnemar b'lina marod el kelim asyadenu, and then ingredient number four, you have to actually verbalize it. You have to actually say it out. That is the path of tshuva. That is the ingredients, and that's the order of tshuva. So step one, just stop doing the avera. Step two, commit that you will not do it in the future. Step three, regret having done it in the past. And step four, say vidui. It's kedai to think about a little bit the Ramban's understanding of the Psukim in Parshas Nitzavim relating to tshuva, where the Ramban understands beficha uvavavcha la'asoso, kikor velech adav ma'od, beficha uvavavcha la'asoso, to be a reference to tshuva. That Ramban, his understanding of the Pesukim does not seem to exactly fit the Rambam's description of how tshuva actually works, right? Because the Rambam describes tshuva as the beficha coming last, the actually verbalizing, saying something as the last step, whereas the Pesukim, if the Ramban is correct that it's about tshuva, start with beficha, then bilvavcha. The real tshuva process is bilvavcha first, and then beficha, a kasha to think about amongst the other kashas that one could ask on that Ramban. It's a shver Ramban, a difficult Ramban to understand. In fact, it's one of the kashas that I asked in my Shabbat Shuvah Drash. Yes, it was on that Ramban. That was one of the questions I never answered because I forgot to come back and answer it. But anyway, so that's the ingredients to tshuva. Now, what fascinated me about this Rambam is that the Rambam doesn't only focus on a multi-step process, but there's a very clear... when you take the first three steps, leaving out the fourth step, which is the only maisa, everything else is done belayv. The only maisa is vidui, the only thing that you actually do, and that's probably why the Rambam in the first parak focuses so much on the vidui, because when you talk about the maisa mitzvah is the vidui. When you talk about the groundwork that has to be laid for tshuva in one's heart, three steps are not just one, two, three, it's a clear emphasis on past, present, and future. Not in that order. First, the emphasis on present. Right now, stop the Avera. In the here and now, you're not doing the Avera. An emphasis on future. You will commit that in the future, you will not do the Avera. So much so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be made about you that you won't do the Avera. And an emphasis on past. That, because after all, that's what Tshuva L'chora is really mostly about, you would think. About focusing on the averus I've done in the past and regretting that which I've done in the past. And this confluence of all three elements, past, present, and future, sort of grabbed my attention a little bit. But that is, Rav Soloveitchik and Ala Tshuva writes, he didn't really write Ala Tshuva, but they wrote it up from his drushos, one of the Rishonim of Vadia Hadaya or something. One of the early medieval philosophers had an expression, Hahavar Ayin, Vasiv Adayin. Anyone know the Avram Fried song? How does it go? Vahova. I guess I don't think that is fine. Keharav Ayin.
Rabbi Benberger had a vad where he quoted that.
Ah, okay.
I think.
So da'aga minayin. That's
the Ebenezer make sense?
I didn't think it was the Ebenezer. Maybe.
I don't remember.
But, okay.
It was Rabbi Bamberger, I think.
Rabbi Bamberger is very well sourced. I'm sure he knows exactly where it was. So whatever he said is definitely true. I definitely have no idea. But it definitely comes from a medieval source. Now, var ayin means the past is gone. What was it? Var ayin. Sid adayin, the future is not here yet. and the present is just a fleeting moment. So Daminayin, why would you worry about anything? You know, just enjoy life. The past you can't worry about anymore because it's over. There's nothing you can do to change it. The future's not here yet, so why would you worry about something that's not even here yet? And right now is not right now anymore because that was a second ago. So it's gone. It's a fleeting moment. So don't worry about anything. Daminayin. So Soloveitchik thought that that is not a proper Jewish ideal. He thought that that was against what we actually believe. He said, no, the Jewish people are very much focused on the past with an eye toward the future, constantly with an eye toward the future, and that connection to past and future makes our present so important. It makes the current time that we live in and every action that we do so critical. What do I mean we're very, what does our salvation mean? We're very focused on the past. I mean, think about everything we celebrate in our religion, every holiday we have in our religion. We celebrate Yetzias Mitzrayim. We mourn Tisha B'Av, Korban Beis HaMikdash. And why are we doing all this? What? So we could be sad for the rest of our lives? So we could be sad for all of eternity? Because that's the lot of the Jewish people? No, why are we doing all this? Because there's hope. Because there is a Jewish future. Because Kol HaMasabal Yerushalayim is Zoch V'Rav Simchasa. Because the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu who took us out of Mitzrayim is going to also bring us back Beshuvi LYerushalayim. It's all because there is hope for the future. Because there is a Jewish history, there's also a Jewish destiny. And because we recognize the importance of the Jewish history, and we have an eye on where we're going to, we understand the Jewish destiny, that makes the Jewish present so important. So he thought that the past, present, future is not something to be dismissed. Don't worry about past, present, future. No, past, present, future, that's it. That's Judaism in a nutshell. It's educated by the past with an eye toward the future and therefore the present. I once said a drasha. I thought, it's totally a derech drush, you know, but I once said a drasha when you talk about sukkahs, it's a good dvar Torah to have in your back pocket for sukkahs. The dalet minim, the medrash says, the dalet minim relate to different body parts. Right, the lulav relates to spine. The esrog,
heart.
Good. The aravos are the lips. Hadasim are the eyes, and it works out so well, right? Because how many spines do you have in your body? One, right? How many lulav you take? One. How many hearts do you have? One. How many esrog you take? One. How many lips you have? Two. How many aravos you take? Two. How many eyes you have? Two. How many hadasim you take? Three. Not just three, but they're supposed to be mishulash. Like every set of leaves is supposed to be three leaves coming out of each spot of the hadasim. What is this three eyes that we're talking about? So I want to say al derech drush, that the three eyes are the three places that a Jew needs to be looking at all times. A Jew needs to be looking in the past, a Jew needs to be looking at the future, and a Jew needs to be looking at the present. The past, present, and future all come together for the Jewish people. And I thought that that's even the symbolism of the sukkah. Symbolism of the sukkah is, why do we have a sukkah? What's that? We're learning to set the sukkah. What's the sukkah for? So we're not up to Yid Aleph yet, but sukkah daf Yid Aleph, either Zecher to Anan Yakavud or Sukkah's Mamish. And then there's a third reference to the sukkah, because in our benching, Harachman Hu Yakum Lanu Es. Sukkah's David on the phones. What's the Sukkah's David? David had a nice sukkah? Like, where do we learn anything about David's sukkah? What was his fancy sukkah? No, it's the Moshe Mashiach. It's the Beis HaMikdash. Sukkah's David on the phones. The fallen sukkah of David is the Beis HaMikdash. So this also is past, present, and future. Right? We have the Sukkah's Mamish that we were the Anani HaKavod that we were in the Midbar. The Sukkot Mamish that we're in right now, and the Sukkot David HaNofelos that we're going to rebuild, that we're hoping Harachmanu Yakim Lanu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should rebuild for us. The whole thing, the whole Jewish experience, you can go to every Yantuf and you can find this theme of past, present, and future. The entire Jewish experience is colored by past, present, and future. Yeah. What? Yeah, that's the Pashup Shot, certainly, is that it was referring to the Midbar. But all we have left of that, we don't have Anani HaKavod anymore. But what we do have right now, the mitzvah that we do, are actual Sukkos Mamish. So I thought that maybe we could discuss in Halacha how past, present, and future plays a role in Halacha. Meaning, to what extent does a person have to be thinking about the future when dealing with something right now. In halacha, not in hashkafa anymore. So we're going to move over to halacha. Now, this plays a role in Ilchus Yom HaKippurim as well, but I didn't think of all these examples. Most of these examples I actually got from a shir I heard from my kavrusa a while ago from Rabbi Shalom Nasner. He gave a shir on Camp Keli last summer to my Masmidim program, and not this past summer, but last summer. And many of these marmakomos, if not all, I don't think all, but I don't remember which are from him and which are not. It's like 95% from him, at least, are from Rabbi Rosner. But the idea is to think about when there seems to be a conflict between the best thing to do right now versus projecting into the future, what kind of impact this is going to have in the future. So how do we deal with that conflict in halacha? So let me start with the example of the Gemara Masechta Shabbos and Daf Kuf Lamed. The Gemara tells us, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed tells us that that when it comes to a bris on Shabbos, there's a machlok, meaning it's really a whole parak of Masechta Shabbos. There's a parak called Reb Elazar de Mila in Masechta Shabbos. What is Reb Elazar de Mila? Reb Elazar de Mila is a parak all about Rabbi Elazar's shita about bris mila. Was a unique shita that normally we know that mila is doch Shabbos, right? You're allowed to do bayom hashmini yimol b'sar laso bayom hashmini v'afilu b'shabbos. So you give a bris mila even if it's on Shabbos. What if you have not remembered before Shabbos to bring the kelim that you need for the bris mila to the shul to do the bris? So the baby and the kelim are not in the same place, right? So can you schlep the baby to the kelim or the kelim to the baby? Or what about the following? What if you know that after the bris, the baby's going to need a bath for health reasons, he's going to be a cholash yesh basakana, but you forgot to prepare warm water before Shabbos? So the only way to get a bath would be to cook the water. Or what if, even more basic, you don't even have the kelim for bris mila, but you have the expertise, you know how to make them. How do you make them? Well, you'd have to chop down some wood in order to make a fire to then form the metal into the right shape and sterilize it as well, and then you'd be able to do bris mila. Are you allowed to do all of that on Shabbos? So Reb Elazar shita is that machshirei mila are docha Shabbos, that even those things that you need to do to prepare for mila are docha Shabbos, whereas the Chacham say no, machshirei mila are not docha Shabbos. So there is a discussion in that context where what to do if the kelim are not in the same place where the baby is. And Tosfos Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed raises the following question. Says Tosfos, V'im Tomer, V'yaviu HaTinok Eitzel Kli, Dahash Leleke Yisr Shabbos Klal, Dachay Nosei Hatzmo. The Gemara says, bring the Kli to where the baby is in a certain way where you'll try to minimize Kli Shabbos. So Tosfos says, well, why don't you just bring the baby to where the Kli is? Because if you bring the baby to where the kli is, carrying a baby on Shabbos is aser, but not in Issa Daraisa. Because there's a concept in halacha called Achai Noseis Atzma. Achai Noseis Atzma means that a living thing carries itself. So you're not really carrying it, it's carrying itself. In fact, there's somewhat of a misunderstanding in the poskim in Hilchos Nida. There's a halacha in Hilchos Nida that one is not allowed to pass something from husband to wife or wife to husband when a woman is a Nida. So there's a discussion in poskim, what about passing a baby from one to the other, from one spouse to the other, when she's a nida? Very common shayla, obviously, because right after a woman has a baby, she's going to be a nida for several weeks. There's a lot of bleeding that goes on for several weeks. So they have an infant, and especially first-time parents, I would say even more, second- and third-time parents, where they have more things to juggle, and they have a lot more responsibilities, and have to. So they're always constantly want to pass the baby from one to the other. Are you allowed to pass a child from one to the other? So there's an expression, Pesach Tshuva quotes, Hachai Noseis Atzma, that when you're passing a baby, Hachai Noseis Atzma. So it's not really, you're not really passing the baby. But if you look carefully, what he's really saying is not the halachic Hachai Noseis Atzma that we have in Hilchos Shabbos. What he's really saying over there is that when the baby is of an age, where the baby sort of moves on their own, you know, if a baby's a 6-month old, and you put out your hands, And the baby loves you more than the person who's holding it, right? Let's say the person who's holding it is like the creepy uncle, and you know, and you put out your hands, and like, and the baby like jumps. Oh, thank you for saving me. So that's hachai no seis atzmo. That's the baby carrying himself. That's what it means in that context. Rav Mordechai Willig happens to have a major kula about passing even smaller babies, and not for now. When we learn Hilchos Nida, Bez Hashem will have an opportunity to discuss that maybe. But that's not really our discussion. But Achai Nosei Asma is a halachic concept. Means that carrying on Shabbos, it's not called that you're carrying when you're carrying a person, because a person has a live person, at least Achai has a certain sense of carrying themselves. So Tosus points out that the reason we can't bring the baby to the kli is that Tosus points out v'yesh lomar the katan tzarich li'imahu v'achra milah yitzarich lachzir li'imah. He says, because you have to think about it this way. Yeah, you're going to bring the baby to the kli. You'll minimize the chol Shabbos now, right? Then after the bris, you're going to have to bring the baby back home because the baby's going to need mommy, and mommy was too sick to get to shul. She couldn't come to where the kli is, because a woman who just had a baby a week after childbirth was never able to leave the house till modern times. Nowadays, Rav Shachter points out, you know, the mukubal thing in Poskin was always that for 72 hours, and it's in Shulchan Aruch black and white, for 72 hours after having a baby, a woman is a chol sheyesh bo sakana, it's usher for her to fast. If a woman has a baby 2 days before Yom Kippur, she may not fast on Yom Kippur, she must eat normally on Yom Kippur. Right? That's the halacha. It's chol sheyesh bo sakana. Rav Shachter has a tremendous chumra where he said, yeah, that's the way it was. But nowadays, you know, a woman very often, 2-3 days after having a baby, she's, you know, at her spin class in the gym, and, you know, and whatever, she's like walking around the streets like nothing. But it wasn't always that way. It used to be that the woman wasn't going anywhere. So Tos says, what do you do afterwards? The baby's got to get back to mommy. So, okay, but when the baby has to get back to mommy, still achai no seis atzmo. No, because once the baby is injured from the mila, he's kafus. He has none of his own, you know, independent ability to sort of carry himself. So now carrying the baby is going to be worse. So now, what are your choices? If I bring the kalim to where the baby is, I'll be carrying once. If I bring the baby to where the kalim are, so carrying the baby is only draban, right? And this is draban on the way there. But then carrying the baby on the way back is going to be daraisa. So I'd rather violate just carrying the kalim than carrying the baby both ways. So Tos says, that's why we bring the kalim to the baby. The Rashba in Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed quotes the Kasha of Tosos, Hikshu v'Tosos lama yavi izemel etzel tinok, yavo tinok etzel izemel, teleka el shvus, because after all, it's only going to be a shvus, chai nosei es hatzmo. And the Rashba quotes Tosos' answer, and then the Rashba writes that he doesn't like Tosos' answer, because he says, I don't understand. Tosos' answer was that after the Mila, the baby is going to be immobile. And therefore, it's going to be a daraisa. Says the Rashba, yeah, but right now, is the baby immobile? You know what else might happen? After the meal, there might be an earthquake and we'll all die. And then we won't even have to think about carrying the baby back. I don't know what the future holds. I know right now, you give me the choice. Carry Kalim, daraisa, carry baby, drabanan, do the drabanan. The Rashba writes, ve'eno mechuvar ve'enai. He says, right now, the baby, it would only be a shvus to carry the baby. Yeah, afterwards it will be a daraisa. Who knows if we'll all be alive afterwards? Maybe you'll find another, in a more cheerful possibility. Maybe the baby will start taking formula afterwards. Maybe there'll be another wet nurse that's able to make it to where the baby is, and the baby won't need his mother. Who knows? Maybe. I got to deal with the right here and now. So what the Tosfos and the Rashba are doing over here is they're setting us up for this broader discussion. When you have something that in the here and now would seem to be choice A, would seem to be the better halacha choice. But when you take the future into account, choice B would be the better halacha choice. Which one wins? Do you look at the present or do you look at the future? Says Tosfos, you got to think about the future. You have to think about where you're going. I remember when we first got married, my wife and I lived in Kew Garden Hills, and we davened by Rabbi Arieli Shul. Anyone know Rabbi Arieli? So when she was pregnant, so I used to ask him my shaylos. I certainly wasn't asking myself my shaylos, but you know, I would ask him a lot of shaylos that that came up. So when she was pregnant, on Tisha B'Av, she was in her, I guess, close to her ninth month already, and he said she should not fast Tisha B'Av, which is a chiddush because Shulchan Aruch says that a pregnant person fasts on Tisha B'Av, especially if there's no danger. He said she should not fast Tisha B'Av. So I said, why not? You know, like I was trying to. My wife was like, he said not to fast, you know, but like, why not? So he said, Chachamein of Barosho, you have to think about the body still has to recuperate to fast Yom Kippur. I'm not going to be able to give you kulos on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is not so far after Tisha B'Av. Pretty far after Tisha B'Av, I don't know. But he thought that you know, the body has to recuperate, and therefore you have to keep the future into account. That is a Tosfos type point of view. The Rashba type point of view is today's Tisha B'Av, good. You worry about today. I mean, not good, but you worry about today. What will happen Yom Kippur? Who knows? Maybe we'll all be dead. But you know, we don't know. What, maybe Mashiach will be here, and we'll, you know, we'll figure it out. That we don't know. We have no idea what will be Yom Kippur. That is the Machlokas Tosfos and the Rashba. You have a similar Machlokas Rishonim, Balamor and Ramban, when it comes to if you don't have any hot water for the Bismillah. In source number 5, I don't know how many of you have the Marmakomos, I sent it on the WhatsApp. The Mishnah says in Masechta Shabbos that Marchitzin Asakatan, you have to bathe the baby before the Milah, after the Milah. And Rav Loza ben Azariah Omer, Marchitzin Asakatan biyom ha-shlishi shechalios b'Shabbos. You bathe the baby on the third day after the Milah, even on Shabbos, because the third day is considered a particularly dangerous time. So says the Balamar, what happens, you had the hot water prepared before Shabbos, you put it up in an urn or a thermos or something, you had it all taken care of before Shabbos, and then nishbechu chamin shalom, the hot water spilled. Okay, so if the baby right had his bris milah 2 days before, and today's the third day, there's no suffix, it's a pikuach nefesh, you have to heat up water. Let's say it's a Shabbos bris. You're going to do the bris on Shabbos. You need to bathe the baby right after the bris. Do you heat up water on Shabbos and do the bris? Or do you say, no, don't do the bris? Meaning, if in order to do the bris, I'm going to have to be mechal Shabbos. We don't pass like Rav Lazar. You're not allowed to heat up water for a bismillah on Shabbos. So do you do the bris and then say, ah, baby, zecholosh yesh b'sakana, and now I have to heat up the water? Or do you say, no, I know that if I do this bris, the baby's going to be a cholosh yesh b'sakana, and then I'm going to have to heat up water, so I better not do the bris, because I don't want to be mechal Shabbos. Machlokas balamar Ramban. Says the balamar, don't do the bris. You have to know what's coming. If you do the bris, the baby's going to be a chol sheish b'sakana. So don't do the bris. Because then you're going to have to cook on Shabbos. Says the Ramban, right now you have a baby, baby needs a milah. Milah's don't for Shabbos, do the milah. Aye, the baby's going to be a chol sheish b'sakana. Good. Then when the baby's a chol sheish b'sakana, then you're allowed to heat up the water. You don't have to think now about the fact that you're going to have to heat up the water afterwards. Essentially, the Balamar says, think about the future. The Ramban says, do not think about the future, think the here and now. Essentially, the Balamar following the line of thinking of the Rashba, that of Tosfos, that you have to think about the future. The Ramban, like the Rashba, think about the here and now. Don't think about the future. Whatever the future carries, we'll deal with it when it comes. Another example. Third example where we have such a discussion about the present versus the future. Gemara in Shabbos says that you're not supposed to travel for leisure within 3 days of Shabbos. Don't go on a boat, not to be maflig besvina within 3 days of Shabbos. Why? What's the problem with going on a svina within 3 days of Shabbos? Things could happen. And then you may need to be Mechal Shabbos to save yourself. Right? So you don't want to set yourself up for failure. Says the Rif, nah, that's not the reason. The Rif says, no, you know why you're not allowed to be maflik b'sfina in the 3 days of Shabbos? Bittul oneg Shabbos. Says, I don't know if any of you ever went on a cruise. Anyone ever go on a cruise? I never did, nor do I have a desire to, but apparently they say, and you can tell me if this is true or not, that maybe the modern cruise liners are different though, because that's like a whole city, but they say that like going on a boat, like it takes some time to sort of reorient yourself to the sea, to the unsteadiness of the sea. And that, after 3 days on the boat, okay, so that's your new reality. You're used to that. But to sort of get to that point, you're going to be sick for a few days. You're not going to be enjoying it for a few days. And then you get to that point after 3 days where, okay, this is you're used to it already. You found your equilibrium. So says the Rif, that's why you're not allowed to be maflik b'sfina 3 days before Shabbos. Because it's going to be a bit alonik Shabbos. Nothing about chilul Shabbos. It's going to be a bit alonik Shabbos. And you're not going to be able to find your equilibrium in time. The Baal Mor says, no. It's because it's going to cause chilul Shabbos, like we said before. It's going to cause chilul Shabbos. Something might come up when you're traveling. Says Baal Mor, kol shosh yom kodem Shabbos kamei Shabbat mikri. The 3 days before Shabbos, you already have to be thinking about Shabbos. That's called before Shabbos. Vinira kimasna lidchos es Shabbos. And if you leave on Thursday on a boat, it's as if you're saying, yeah, I'm getting ready to be Mechal Shabbos. Because I already have Shabbos in my sights. I already know that it's coming. And I'm doing this anyway because I'm going to be Docha Shabbos. And it doesn't bother me. And that's a problem. And he says, the same is true going to any place of Sakana. That when Shabbos is already in your sights, you're not supposed to be putting yourself in a situation where you know that you will have to be Mechal Shabbos. So essentially, the Rif is telling us, I'm not worried about Chil Shabbos later. Right now, it's Thursday, it's not Shabbos. I don't have to worry about Chil Shabbos on Thursday. I worry about today. Whereas the Baal Mor says, no, you have to worry about what sort of Chil Shabbos it's going to cause. If it were to come to that. So the Rav Salvechik just pointed out, Shachtel quotes in Divrei Rav, that L'chor it's a stir in the Baal Mor, because he allows risking future Chil Shabbos if you're going L'dvar Mitzvah, but he doesn't allow it for Mila. I mean, this was all to go L'dvar Rishus. For Dvar Mitzvah, he says, yeah, no problem. But when it came to the Mila, the Baal Mor was the one that said, don't do the Bris. But isn't a Bris a Dvar Mitzvah? So Rav Salvechik deals with it. Maybe his difference between bris is going to be a vadei chil Shabbos because you know you're going to have to eat up the water. The boat is only a safek chil Shabbos. In the case of the bris, you're creating the situation on Shabbos itself. In the case of the boat, you're creating the situation on Thursday when it's not Shabbos. Okay, but here's just another example of taking the future into account. In fact, both the Rif and the Baal Mor take the future into account. They're just focused on different futures. One is focused on the Chil Shabbos part, the other the Onik Shabbos part. But they're both sort of taking the future into account. Now, this is a very basic example. The Gemara Maseches Tamid says, Ezu Chacham Haroa Es HaNolad. Right? What does Mishnah Pirkei Avos say? Ezu Chacham? Smech B'chalko? Halomim Mikal Adam? There's a third Ezu Chacham. Gemara Tamid. Ezu Chacham Haroa Es HaNolad. A chacham is a person who can anticipate, who can see what's going to happen. You know, he's like a few steps ahead. Say that if you go to someone for eitzah, the best person to go for eitzah is a chacham in this sense. A chacham is roa senola. Because when you go for eitzah, I want to know. In my whole life, I always dreamed that I'm going to be a lawyer, but now I'm having second thoughts. I'm thinking maybe I want to go into a different profession. So I want to go get eitzah from someone. So you don't just want to go to get eitzah from someone who in the here and now says, well, I have a friend who's a lawyer, and he makes $500,000 a year. This other profession you want to go into, I have a friend who does that, and he makes $50,000 a year. Stupid choice. You should be like, no, you want someone who's able to anticipate where these professions are going, who's able to anticipate like what the future looks like, who's able to go a few steps ahead. Ezu chacham haroa es hanolad. That's what they... The Navi tells us that Achitofel was a great yoetz. Achitofel was a terrible person, but he was a great yoetz. when he gave Eitza, it was always going to be successful if people listened to his Eitza. In fact, he just learns about it in the Daf Yomi. Achitophel committed suicide. Why did he commit suicide? Because he had backed Avshalom in his rebellion against David, and in his supporting of Avshalom, he was giving Avshalom Eitza, and at a certain point, Avshalom stopped listening to his Eitza. And Achitophel realized, if Avshalom is not listening to my Eitza, he's not going anywhere. His rebellion is going to fail. And because he realized that Avshalom's rebellion was going to fail, he knew that as someone who had sided with Avshalom, he's going to be a Mori B'Malchus. And what happens to a Mori B'Malchus? It's killed. But not only does he get killed, Mamono Avad also. The king takes all of his property. His family gets nothing. So Achitophel went home and committed suicide. Because if someone's Mavid Asmal Das, he commits suicide. So yeah, he ends up dead also. And it's a terrible Avera, but at least his family will be left with something. So Achitophel had this ability to anticipate what was going to be, what was going to be in the future. Ezu Chacham HaRos HaNolet, Shulchan Aruch borrows this, uses this phrase when we talk about eating Shalosh Shudas. Now there's a requirement in Halacha that a person is supposed to have three meals on Shabbos. A lot of people think that, no, two meals you have to have. And third meal, like, you know, if there's a good speaker in the shul or something, so then, you know, maybe you have. But otherwise, like, there's no, no, there's a requirement. Hayom, 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 the Gemara Masechta Shabbos Darshins, a person is chayiv to eat shalosh su'udos every Shabbos. It's true, there are deos in Shulchan Aruch that are more makel in terms of what you need to have at the third meal, that maybe, maybe you don't need to have lecha mishnah. Although there are deos that you do, there are several shitas rishonim, and maybe you don't even have to wash, but some semblance of a meal you have to have. The idea that you could be yotzei with divrei Torah, so 2 points about that. First of all, you then actually have to learn Torah. You can't just say, you could be yotzei with divrei Torah, so now I'm going to take a nap. No, like then you have to actually like learn Torah. Also, that idea doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes 4 shitas about what you need to do to be yotzei shalosh shudas. He doesn't mention divrei Torah. You know where that appears? It appears on the page of Shulchan Aruch. It appears in the commentaries in the Magen Avraham. In Hilchos, where would you expect it to appear? You expect it in Hilchos Shabbos, right? That's where it should be. Where does it appear? Hilchos Pesach. Hilchos Pesach. Why is it Hilchos Pesach? Because Shulchan Aruch talks about the challenging halachic circumstance of Erev Pesach Shechalios Peshavis. We do not have that this year, but Erev Pesach Shechalios Peshavis. When Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, which means the first Seder is Motzai Shabbos, 3 day Yantiv, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, right? What do you do about your Sudos Shabbos? See, Erev Pesach is the worst time as far as food is concerned. There's nothing to eat on Erev Pesach. Can't have chametz, can't have matzah, there's nothing. So what do you do? How are you supposed to be yotzei suda Shabbos? So okay, get some chametz in before the zman, the sof zman achilas chametz. Daven early, get a suda in. And what about shalosh shudas? What are you going to do for shalosh shudas? Can't have chametz, can't have matzah. So all sorts of different eitzes are given. So it's in that context. The Magen Avraham says yotzei b'divrei Torah. He doesn't really mean you yotzei b'divrei Torah. He means anos rachman apatre. What are you going to do? There's no other choice. You know, normally you have a chiyuv shalosh shudas, but if you can't do it, you can't do it. I mean, he doesn't think you have to do a shtick where you daven at 5 in the morning, and then you eat, at 6:30, and then you go daven musaf, and then you come back and eat. He doesn't think that you have to do all this stuff. Okay. But on a regular Shabbos, of course you have a chiyuv to eat shalosh shudas. But what happens? You're invited out for a lunch meal to a person who's an excellent cook, and she cooks 17 courses, and everything looks delicious, so you have to try everything, and like everything is taka delicious, so you have to have doubles of everything. So by the time and the conversation is gishmak, like the lashon hara is like flying, it's awesome. So like you know it's going and going and going, and it's like 6 o'clock, you know, and you know it's time for mincha already, and you're stuffed. And you can't, by the time you get to shalosh shudas, you go sit down in the shalosh shudas and they have like last week's egg salad and you're like, no thanks, I'm good. I can't bear the sight of possibly eating. I can't bear the thought of eating something. Shulchan says, "Chacham ein of brosha." You have to think about during lunch that you will need to eat shalashudis later, and therefore don't put yourself in a position where you're not going to be able to eat shalashudis later. It's another example of taking the future into account, even in the present. You might say, "No, onek Shabbos, I'm going to enjoy my Shabbos meal more now." No, Chacham ein of brosha. Then there's probably the most famous example. Probably the most famous example of where you have like this conflict between the now and the future. This is a Tshuva Saradvaz. Tshuva Saradvaz, Chelek Dalet, Simen Yud Gimel. She'ela. Reuven ha'yachavosh bebeis ha'asurim. Reuven was in jail. There used to be such a thing as a Jew in jail. Just joking. Ve'lo ha'yachal latzeis l'espala. Ba'asarim. The jail, anti-Semitic, they wouldn't let him go out for minyan three times a day. Now, it used to be in those times when a Jew was in jail, it was likely for being a Jew. You know, it wasn't like for all the mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim that people end up in jail in America for. He wasn't able to go out daven with the minyan. The jailers didn't let him out. V'yischanin lifnei asaro ahegmon. So he begged the warden, please, v'lo avash shemo al anicho zulasi yom echad b'shana. He says, I'll give you one day pass, one day a year. So what should he do? Go to Uman Roshana? You know, he's got his one day a year. There was that guy, rabbi, whatever, in Israel, it was a big story. So you got to take the opportunity. Just a million shekel bail, you go to Uman for Rosh Hashanah. So what should he do? He gets one day. Now this is like a random Tuesday in February. But he's told he's going to get one day a year. So do you take the random Tuesday in February and daven mincha? Or do you wait for Yom Kippur and go and daven Yom Kippur at the Kotel or something? What do you do? Says the Radvaz, Hinei re'isi echad michach midareinu b'tshuva davrzeh salal b'mayim adirim v'hela cheres b'yada. He says, I saw a different rabbi who dealt with this shaila and did a terrible job. He went b'mayim adirim and all he pulled up was a piece of pottery. Va'al yisod ru'ua bani yisodo, and he built his whole foundation of his whole tshuva based on wrong ideas. B'tchila kasav da'ad of Yom HaKippurim. First he said Yom Kippur is the best day. And then this other rabbi said, no, not Yom Kippur, Purim. Why Purim? Presuminisa, you want as many people as possible. Even though it's only Drabanan. He says that he doesn't quote who the rabbi was. I saw a tshuva from another rabbi who was wrong, because he started thinking about what's the best day. Says the Radvaz, you're thinking about it wrong. You don't think about what's the best day. Aval masharoy lismokalavu danan kaimulan de'ein ma'avirin al hamitzvos. What does that mean? You have a mitzvah to do, do it. Don't think about, oh, maybe it could be better later, this, that. Do it right now. Ein ma'avirin al hamitzvos, says the Radvaz. And therefore, if it's a Tuesday in February for a mincha, you go daven that mincha. First possible opportunity. Comes along the Chacham Tzvi several generations later. Chacham Tzvi was the Rav of Altuna. He was the father of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. And he was the recognized Posek Hador in his time. And he quotes the Sradvaz, in Mavirna al mitzvos, and then he writes, "Yesh lahakshos hazeh," because there's a Gemara in Parakat Chelis and Maseches Menachos, "Sibur she'in lem tmidim musaf and ism in kodem." And if it's a tzibur doesn't have enough animals to bring carbon tamid and carbon musaf, which one do you do? And the Gemara says that the shaila is musaf and de'in of tmidim de lemachar. I could bring today's carbon musaf or tomorrow's carbon tamid. Do you say Tadir Adif or Mekudash Adif? What does that mean? Tadir Adif would tell you what? Karmatam is twice a day, every day. Tadir Shayna Tadir, Tadir Adif. It's that which comes more frequently. Mekudash Adif? I'll tell you the Musaf. The Musaf is more Mekudash than the Karmatam. That's the Shaila of the Gemara. It's an Ibai Dolivshita in the Gemara in Tamanishchat, in the fifth parak of Mesechus Pesachim, whether Tadir is Adif or Mekudash is Adif. And Zvachim Peitas, if I'm not mistaken, whether Tadir is Adif or Mekudash is Adif. So he says, but if you're going to say like the Radvaz, it's a no-brainer. It's Pasha. What's the answer, according to the Radvaz? Whatever you got today. Today's Karban Musaf, tomorrow's Karban Talmud. Today's Karban Musaf. First thing, ain't mavir and other mitzvahs. But apparently, the Gemara doesn't see it that way. You look for what is better. So says the Chacham Tzvi, without committing to which day is actually better, or is actually the best day, but that the rabbi that the Radvaz was criticizing had it right. That line of thinking, find the best day. Is it Yom Kippur? Is it Purim? Whatever it is, find the best day. And get out of jail that day. So that's really the yisod of this whole machlokas. Do I think about today and not worry about tomorrow? Or do I think about in the future? How could I maximize? There's a similar machlokas in contemporary poskim. There was a case that happened, I don't know what year it was. It's in Igros Moshe or Chaim Chelek Aleph Simon Dalid. The year is Tafshin Dalid. Tafshin Dalid. That is what? 74 years ago. Corresponding on our calendar to 1944? Something like that? Right? It was Adar Tafshin Dalid. Rav Moshe was asked a shayla by a rabbi named Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, Rav Shiva of Chaim Berlin. Rav Kuttner had an unbelievably interesting shayla. There was a guy who was diagnosed with an illness that was extremely contagious and extremely dangerous. And the person had to be like quarantined. He had to be like, is that what they call it? Like, you know, people in those spacesuits have to like, you know, deal with them like, I don't know, like they have in the movies when there's a nuclear or whatever or something. So this guy had to be, and he was going to undergo treatment where anything that he brings in with him to his treatment cannot come out. So whatever he brings in with him is going to get burnt, is going to get destroyed. And he's going to be there for a month. What's his shayla? So I bring my tefillin. There's a mitzvah of tefillin each and every day. But at the end of this, they're going to burn whatever he brings in with him. So should he bring his tefillin? This was the shayla that he asked from Moshe. So fascinating discussion Moshe has. What do you do in this case? Do you say, well, today I have a mitzvah tefillin, so I worry about today, that's it. What's going to be in the future, who knows? Or do I say, no, I have to think about the future. Says Rav Moshe, do not bring your tefillin in. It's, you're going to be, when it comes to, and don't even think about the idea that, oh, I'm not going to be the one burning it, I'm not going to be the one destroying it. When it comes to, l'sasim ken l'ashem elokechem, the issue of destroying Kisvei HaKodesh, it's not just an issue of doing the Maisa. You're supposed to do whatever you can to protect Kisvei HaKodesh. Last year, one of the guest speakers in Yeshiva came and was giving a shiur, and he was trying to show how Shem Hashem represents something, and he wrote the Shem Hashem on a board, on a whiteboard. And Sachs came in the next day, saw the Shem Hashem on the board. What do you do? So, okay, can you just let the custodians erase it? You know, don't tell them, and they'll erase it anyway. Although, it happens to be that they often don't. They'll leave it there for a year. But let's say that, you know, you have them erase all the boards every night, so can you let them erase it? So, that happens to be a very interesting shayla, and it's discussed by many poskim. It's not the first time it's ever happened. It's happened in many yeshivas. Rav Salvechik, was asked the shayla that happened to Maimonides once, a teacher on their model lesson. You know, everyone know how not to get a job. Teacher on their model lesson wrote the Shem Hashem on the board, and they didn't know what to do. And Rav Salvechik thought it was a teachable moment. He thought that it was proper chinuch to show the kids that we take it seriously and to remove the board and bury that section of the board to put into Geniza. So Sachs had the board changed. He didn't have it removed. Because when it comes to Shem Hashem, we are not only concerned that we shouldn't be doing the Isser, you have to make sure it doesn't happen. That the name of God not be disgraced. And therefore, says Rav Moshe, you're not allowed to bring the tefillin in. And he brings rayas. I'm not going to get into his rayas right now. Comes along Rav Asher Weiss, and he says he doesn't think that this is correct. Rav Asher Weiss in Menchas Asher on Masech HaShabbos not that he doesn't think it's correct. He says, you know, Rav Moshe's rayas are from all the cases we discussed, are from Ishtape Chamimi, the hot water spills, and Hilchas Shabbos, and what do you do in that case? You know, that's where this Rav Moshe's whole line of thinking is exactly within our model. Rav Asher Weiss says that's the incorrect part. Because of you have to categorize mitzvahs and averos. Some averos are maisa oriented, and some averos are totsa'a oriented. The avera of being of destroying Shem Hashem is not a maisa oriented avera; it's a totsa'a oriented avera. Meaning, when it comes to Chol Shabbos, let's say a guy is mechal Shabbos. Does that bother me when I see guyim driving in the street on Shabbos? Doesn't bother me at all. Adrabba, guy she Shabbos is chayiv misa. The idea that Shabbos is being nischalel, that there is being a maisa of malacha done on Shabbos, is not the problem. Problem is in a Jew doing that maisa. When it comes to Ibud Shem Hashem, that he says, that's different. Ibud Shem Hashem is clearly a totsa-oriented issue. So he says, maybe you don't bring the tefillin in, but that doesn't reflect at all on all of the other shailas that we've been dealing with, which are not totsa-oriented, but are maisa-oriented. We'll skip around a little bit in the examples. Let's get to a Yom Kippur example. You know, we spoke before about being concerned, potentially, about... I'm actually skipping the one Maramakam that I found that Razner didn't have, a Tisha B'av-related example that Rav Asher talks about in Minchas Asher Mu'adim, but okay, we'll skip it. We spoke about Tisha B'av and Yom Kippur coming closely on the heels of each other, but we have another two fast days that are much more closely on the heels of each other, and that is today at Yom Kippur. It's Yom Gedalia and Yom Kippur, especially this year, where it's mamish within a week. It's not even a full week apart. And on Sunday we're fasting, and then again we're going to fast on Shabbos. So let's say, it says the Stei Chemed spells Stei Sin Dalid Yud. In the introduction to Stei Chemed, he has a whole arichos why he's allowed to call his sefer Stei Chemed. What was the problem? It's a Shem Hashem, Shaka. No, it's Stei, it's not Shaka. Okay. But on the safest day, that it's a good. It's traditional in introductions to Svarim that people explain the name of a sefer. So he had a whole Torah within the name of the sefer. So Stechem, he says, Misha Barlo Shemisanatzom Gedalia Yazaklotzom Yom Kippur V'yela Machlos Shnegel Sof Kroch Nefesh V'Tzarech Lechol. Let's say a person knows that he's not well, he's not of strong constitution. So if he fasts on some Gedalia, he'll make it. He'll be able to fast some Gedalia. But he'll be so weakened by Yom Kippur that he's likely going to have to break his fast on Yom Kippur. It will become Pikuach Nefesh and he'll have to break his fast on Yom Kippur. What should he do? Better to eat on some Gedalia? Better to fast on some Gedalia? So that was the Shaila that he dealt with. So Stechema says, L'chora, this is exactly the Machlokas, Chacham Tzvi and Radvaz. Why? What was the case of the Radvaz? What was the case of the Radvaz? You get out of jail one day, and what was the Radvaz's answer? What do you do? First possible day, deal with the here and now. And Chacham Tzvi says, no, you got to think about the future. Says Techemet, Pashtos is exactly the same thing. Today is Tzom Gedalia. Should I fast today or not? I can tell you from my inbox today, there are a lot of people that don't want to. I'm getting a lot of I'm not feeling so well, this, that. A lot of people not so interested in fasting, right? So a lot of people are not so interested in fasting. But let's say you know that you're a weak constitution. Today I know that I'm a chiyuv to fast. Should I worry about Yom Kippur? According to the Radvaz, Don't worry about Yom Kippur. Today, here and now, you have chiyuv to fast. Who knows if any of us will be alive still in Yom Kippur? Whereas, according to the Chacham Tzvi, no, you got to take the future into account. So that's what Stichemis suggests. And then it's even worse over here. It's even worse over here. Because if you're going to eat today, then you're violating the Kumbha Aseh. So better to do what you know is right today. However, comes along with Shmuel Kamenetsky. In the Sefer Kovetz Halachos, page Resh Samach Dalet, Shmuel Kamenetsky did not write the Kovetz Halachos. It was written by a Talmud of his, Rabbi Daniel Kleinman. I never met Rabbi Kleinman, but he must have spent a lot of time with Rav Shmuel. He has many, many volumes where he asked Rav Shmuel about like every prat of everything related to every yontif. So Rav Kleinman writes, in the name of Rav Shmuel, he's really responding to something that Tzitz Eliezer talks about. Tzitz Eliezer talks about a tshuva from the Halachos Ketanos, about a person who has to take a regiment of non-kosher milk as medication, and Tisha B'Av falls out in the middle. So what happens? If he fasts on Tisha B'Av, he's going to have to start the 40 days again. So it's 40 days of Machalos Asuros. But if he eats it on Tisha B'Av, if he has it on Tisha B'Av, then he won't have to restart his 40 days. So what do you do in that case? That was the Tshuvas Halachos Ketanos. So Tshuvas Halachos Ketanos says he can eat it on Tisha B'Av. L'chora, same shayla, right? Because if you hold like the Red Vaz, worry about today. If today's Tisha B'Av, are you going to die if you fast? No. Good. So fast. But I'm going to have to eat Machalos Asuros for the next 40 days. That's tomorrow. Whereas if you have a Chacham Tzvi type of view, no, I have to think about the next 40 days. And the next 40 days is going to be a real problem. Says Rav Shmuel, he doesn't think that Halachos Ketanos is really nogea to our Shaila of Yom Kippur versus Tzom Gedalia. Why? Over there, it's a different Shaila. See, our question, Yom Kippur versus Tzom Gedalia, is, you know, which is the more serious fast, Yom Kippur or Tzom Gedalia? Obviously, Yom Kippur, right? But they're both fast days. And it's not a matter of how many averes I'm going to be doing. It's, if I'm going to have to eat on one of them, I'm going to be doing an avere, either violating Tzom Gedalia or violating Yom Kippur. The shaila of the Halachos Ketanos is an entirely different shaila. The shaila of the Halachos Ketanos is a case where it's a quantity versus quality issue. Meaning it's not that, the worse Avera versus the less worse Avera. The Shaila is, do an Avera many, many, many times versus do an Avera once. Meaning if I drink that non-kosher milk on Tisha B'Av, I will save myself 30 more days, let's say, of drinking non-kosher milk. Whereas if I don't drink it on Tisha B'Av, 30 times I'm going to have to violate an Isser. Says Rav Shmuel, that's a whole different ballgame. Of course you're going to eat on Tisha B'Av then. Because not only is the non-kosher the more chamor isser than eating on Tisha B'Av, which is only drabanan, not only is it a more chamor isser, but it's so many times, over and over again. That doesn't necessarily tell you that you would fast on Tzom Gedalia because it's the here and now. No, by Tzom Gedalia, it may be fast on Yom Kippur because it's the bigger one. But over there, eat on Tisha B'Av. I'm saying it backwards. Eat on Tisha B'Av, don't worry about the here and now, because if you do worry about the here and now, you're going to violate many, many Yisurim. Whereas in our case, by Tzom Gedalia, if you do worry about the here and now and you fast on Tzom Gedalia, you'll violate one Yisur, and that's Yom Kippur. Where do you have this discussion of quantity versus quality? Like, you have to think about how many Averas I'm going to do versus doing a bigger Avera. So Rav Yosef Engel has a long discussion of this notion of quantity versus quality, and his starting point is a run in Maseches Yuma. The Ran talks about, let's say you have a Chol HaShi'ish Masakana. So what do you do? Chol HaShi'ish Masakana, doctor comes, visits, and he says, I see you're very ill. I prescribe you need to eat meat. You need to eat red meat. That's your medication. Okay, fine. Have to eat red meat. One little problem. It's Shabbos. Okay, nothing wrong with eating meat on Shabbos. No, another little problem. You don't have any red meat other than in your fridge you have some nevela meat. Oh, why? Okay, don't ask questions. But you have nevela meat in your fridge. Oh, but also in your backyard you have a cow. So it's Shabbos. You need to eat meat. You have nevela meat in your fridge. Let's assume you'll have to cook them both the same, right? You have nevela, so it's not about the cooking, it's about the eating. You have nevela meat in the fridge, and you have a cow in your backyard. What should you do? Chol HaShi'ish Masakana. So Chol HaShi'ish Masakana, you could violate whatever issur, but you're supposed to minimize the issur. Do the lesser issur. Says the Ran, this is a Rishon. Ran quotes from the Ravid. No, which is the worst avera, eating the velo or shechting the cow on Shabbos? Shechting the cow on Shabbos, chiv skila, chil Shabbos. Eating the velo is a little sasei. So you say, oh, no brainer, eat the nevela, right? Says the Ran, b'shem the Ravid. If the doctor prescribes that you need to eat one kazayis of meat, eat the nevela. But what if the doctor prescribes you need to eat 10 kazayis of meat? Shech the cow. Why? Because if you need to eat one kazayas, if you need to eat 10 kazayas of meat, and you eat 10 kazayas of nevela, how many averes did you just do? 10. Every kazayas is a separate issue. Whereas if you shech the cow, you'll have all that kosher meat from one maisa shchita, from one iser skila, from one chil Shabbos. It's true, it's a much worse avera, chil Shabbos. But it's fewer. Quantity versus quality. Rav Yosef Engel has a whole piece where he has like 19 rayos from different places in Shas and Poskim, whether quantity outweighs quality. Of course, the number of sources that you're probably familiar with. Yeah, the Rambam in his commentary to Pirkei Avos, Hakolafi Rov Hamasa. Rambam says, doesn't say Hakolafi Godel Hamasa, Hakolafi Rov Hamasa. And therefore, if you have $100 to give to tzedakah, what should you do? Is it better to give $100 to one place and make the biggest impact, or a dollar to 100 different places? Says the Rambam. Anyone know this Rambam? $1 to 100 different places. Why a kolafi rov hamasa, not godol hamasa, quantity rather than quality. So he's got of his 19 rayos, like 12 are in one direction, 7 are in the other direction, and you know, there's no like clear mahalich of like, you know. But according to this Ravid, the Chora, the quantity is a bigger factor than the quality. So the Chora, says Rav Shmuel, it's not nogeya to the Tzom Gedalia Yom Kippur issue, because Tzom Gedalia Yom Kippur is the same quantity. It's just a matter of quality in present versus future. Another case, Yom Kippur related situation where this comes up is it's become somewhat popular in recent years for people to get themselves an IV before a fast day, because it helps them fast when you're totally hydrated and it's not an issue of drinking. You're not drinking, you're, you know, hydrated through the IV. There are places in Brooklyn where they have like makeshift hospitals set up in the basements of shuls. The New York Times did a story about this. They have like people coming in for IVs before major fast days. Okay, so let's not talk about a person who just like would like to have an easy time fasting, you know, and forget about that mitzvah's inui. But let's talk about a person who can't fast. Because if he fasts, he'll be a Chol HaShi'ish Masakana. He needs to be hydrated. Is he required to get an IV? It's so easy. Any nurse can do it for you. It's not dangerous at all. So what? I mean, have the guy eat on Yom Kippur, just get him an IV, and he won't have to eat on Yom Kippur. L'chora, this too is dependent on our Rishon. If you say that I only have to think about the here and now, I don't have to think about tomorrow. So right here, right now, I have no requirement to put an IV in me. I'm fine right now. Tomorrow I may be dehydrated and I may need to, that's tomorrow, then I'll be allowed to drink when that happens. But if you say that I have to chachamin of barosha, you got to think about the future, said maybe you should think about the future and avoid having to have to eat on Yom Kippur. One could argue that specifically when it comes to Yom Kippur, there is a mitzvah to prepare for Yom Kippur in advance. Because the Gemara tells us, Kala ochel betisha is kilu mis'anet shiva asiri. Anyone who eats on the ninth day of Av is as if he fasted on the ninth day of Tishrei. It's as if he fasted on the ninth and the tenth. So there's dafka a mitzvah. It's a discussion Rishonim what the nature of that mitzvah is. But one significant group of Rishonim holds that the nature of the mitzvah of Achila and Erev Yom Kippurim is so that you will be better prepared for the fast. So that there is a whole inyan of preparing. As a matter of halacha, there's no doubt in Poskim that one is not required to get an IV. It is an unnatural measure. Even though it may not be extreme, but it is an unnatural measure. We measure achila and whether a person is called a shesh basakana absent unnatural measures. So that's Rosh Hashanah Zalman. Rosh Hashanah Zalman thinks he has a raya from Kol Ochel B'Tisha that you don't need to think ahead. I never really followed that raya. I would have thought that it would be the opposite, and that would be a raya that you do need to think ahead. But as far as that, you would not be concerned. So let's quickly review. We had several examples of past, present, and future in terms of halacha. Now, certainly past, present, and future in terms of hashkafa is the very foundation of Hilchos Tshuva. But in terms of halacha, we had several examples. So we discussed a bris on Shabbos, preparing the baby, bringing the baby to the kli, or the kelim to the baby. Do you minimize the current iser or the future iser? If ishtapa chamimi, the hot water spilled on Shabbos, machlokas bal maramban, that was our second example. We discussed going on a boat on Erev Shabbos, machlokas rif and balamar. Are we worried about pitalonik Shabbos or chilul Shabbos? We discussed suda shlishis. Make sure that you don't eat too much at your second Shabbos meal, because you have to think about the future. We discussed the machlokas Chacham Tzvi and Radvaz, getting out of jail one day out of the year. We discussed the machlokas discussion, Rav Moshe, Rav Asher Weiss, happens to be many other posts can get in on the action in that discussion as well, about tefillin being brought into a quarantine zone where they're not going to be able to come out. We did not discuss the case of Tisha B'Av. We left that out, but we discussed the Yom Kippur example. You can fast either Yom Kippur or Tzom Gedalia. Which one should you do? We discussed IV on Erev Yom Kippur. And if you look around, the sensitive, once your mind is geared toward thinking about these things, when you come across such discussions in Poskim, you let me know and we'll add it to the list of things to think about. But the underlying reason that we got into this entire discussion in the first place was that Tshuva is all about thinking about the past, present, and the future, and keeping them all in mind simultaneously as we live our lives as Ovdei Hashem.